What is the role of women in the worship services of the church? Can women be preachers? Can women lead singing or lead praying? What does the Bible say about this? Well, we've been looking at 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to begin there again today. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, Paul begins to address the role of men and women in the church. And in verse 8 he said, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." That passage is about males. It is not about mankind in general, as in men and women. The word for men here is the specific word for males. So he's talking about males taking a lead in praying in verse 8. Then in verse 11, he says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection." The word silence there means quietness, as we've already observed. And in verse 12, he said, "But I suffer not that as I do not allow a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority, that is to exercise or have authority or dominion over the man, but to be in silence, that is, in subjection." So in verses 11 and 12 especially, Paul addresses the question that we're looking at. Now, Paul is giving teaching here that applies to men taking the lead in spiritual matters in general. I don't believe that it's limited to the worship assembly. However, it does include that. So what we find then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, is that Paul said that a woman is not to teach over the man. A woman is not to have or exercise authority over the man in spiritual matters. Now, the first objection or question that we already looked at is the idea that Paul is only giving a temporary teaching in this passage, that Paul was simply dealing with a cultural issue in Timothy's day and age in the city of Ephesus, and that this teaching doesn't apply to our time. We saw that that cannot be true, that that is not true, because Paul said the reason that he gave this teaching is not because of culture, but because of creation. In verse 13, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." So Paul goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, and he said the reason for this teaching of male leadership is that this has always been the will of God, and it still is. So we're not dealing with something that just applied in Bible times here. We're talking about a teaching that applies to our day and age as well. And then, of course, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says that a bishop or an elder must be the husband of one wife. And 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says that a deacon must be the husband of one wife. So that entire section, going from 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, all the way down through 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, is about male leadership in the church. Now, the next question that I want to raise about 1 Timothy chapter 2, 11 and 12 is this. What if the elders try to give authority to a woman to stand up and preach to an audience of men and women? In other words, one of the excuses or one of the defenses that some people give for having a woman preacher is this. They say, well, the leaders in the church gave her that authority. The elders in the church gave her the authority to preach. Well, the bottom line, folks, is this. The elders don't have that right. The elders do not have the right to go against the Bible. And if they let a woman preach in their church, they're going against the Bible, because Paul said, "I do not allow that. I do not permit that." And Paul was an inspired apostle. So, no, elders have a right to make decisions in matters of judgment, but they do not have the right to change the Bible, including this verse. And some of the misunderstanding about that issue comes from the word usurp in the King James Version of 1 Timothy 2, verse 12. Paul said that a woman is not to usurp authority over the man. And some people misinterpret that word. They think that that just means that a woman is not to steal authority from the man or take authority away from the man, that she is not to run over him. Well, she's not, and she's not to take authority away from the man. But that's not the meaning of the expression usurp authority. That comes from one Greek word which means to have authority or to exercise authority or dominion. That is what she is forbidden to do. Whether she does that in what we would say a domineering way or not, it doesn't matter. She is not to be in that kind of leadership position. Now, a third question is this. Can a woman teach children, and can she teach other women? Well, obviously, yes, she can. The Bible says in Titus 2, verses 3 through 5, that the older women are supposed to teach the younger women. And she can definitely teach small children, because she is not exercising authority over a man when she teaches little children. So yes, a woman can teach women, a woman can teach children. And one of the questions that arises also is, well, what about in a Bible class? Can a woman ask questions in a Bible class? Can she make comments in a Bible class? And the answer is yes. We find an example of this in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. In that passage, the Bible talks about Apollos, who was a great and a gifted speaker. He was an eloquent preacher, but the Bible says he only understood the baptism of John. And the scriptures tell us in Acts 18, verse 26, that Aquila and Priscilla, now that's a husband and a wife, take him aside. They take Apollos aside and expound unto him the word of God more perfectly or completely. Now it's both Aquila and Priscilla, the husband and the wife, who are talking to him on that occasion. So yes, a woman can participate in that kind of Bible class setting without necessarily taking the dominion over the man. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we have the general teaching about the role of women in the church when it comes to spiritual matters. Now, the next passage that I want to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 34 and 35. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, Paul said, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Now, one of the most important questions to raise here is, what is the setting? In other words, when he talks about women speaking in the church, what does he mean by the church? Well, as we've already seen, he's not talking about the church building by itself. If that were true, a woman couldn't even say a word once she entered in to the foyer or the vestibule of a church building. Well, he's not talking about that. The word church here refers to the assembly for worship, the church assembly. This is where the whole congregation has come together into one place to worship God. Now, in this setting, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 and 35, he's talking about what women are to do and not to do when the worship service is being held. He is not talking about a Bible class here. That's very important to remember. You see, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we have general teaching about the role of women. There is no limitation in the context of 1 Timothy 2 that would cause us to say that he's only talking about the role of women in the worship service, the worship assembly, in 1 Timothy chapter 2. However, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Bible does indicate that he is now talking specifically about what women are to do and not to do in the church, that is, the church assembly. Now again, in order to really see that, we would need to go back to 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 Corinthians 14 earlier in this chapter. But I would advise you just to go through 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and notice how many times he uses the word church. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, most of the time, he's talking about the worship assembly. So what is it that women are not to do? Well, he says that women are not to speak in that worship assembly. Notice again in verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted to them to speak. And then down in verse 35, he said, it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What kind of speaking is he talking about? That's very important to remember here. What is the speaking that Paul says women are not to do? Well, again, all we have to do is to look at the context. Because beginning in verse 27, he says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue. Well, what were those tongue speakers speaking? They were speaking the Word of God. They were teaching the Word of God in the worship assembly. And then he says about the prophets in verse 29, let the prophets speak, two or three. Now, what were the prophets saying? What kind of speaking were the prophets engaging in? Well, it was the speaking of the Word of God. It was the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God in the worship assembly. Now, that is where, and that is the kind of speaking that Paul says these women and women today are not to engage in. Let your women keep silence in the churches, that is, in the church assemblies, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. The men are to do the preaching. The men are to do the speaking in that worship assembly. And the women are not to participate in that activity. They are not to be up before the group preaching or teaching. That's obvious. If there's one thing that's clear about this verse, is that this verse forbids a woman to be a preacher. But Paul also says that she is not to participate in that activity in the worship service. She is not to participate by saying, I'd like to make a comment, or let me ask a question. That is not the time or the place or the setting for her to do that. Now, a Bible class is different. But we're talking about, and Paul is discussing the worship service here. In that setting, she is not to engage in, she is not to participate in that. So the Bible says in verse 34, let your women keep silence in that way, in that activity, in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. You see, he's not talking here about the singing, not in this particular context. So yes, a woman can sing, and if a woman responds to the invitation and she confesses her sins, or she, as a non-Christian, confesses Jesus Christ, that's something that's entirely in order. But Paul is talking about the actual teaching process and the teaching activity, the preaching part of the worship service of the church. And Paul says she is not to engage in that. She is to let the men do the teaching. And he says in verse 35, if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Well, that was the usual situation. Most of those women were married, and then when they got home, they could discuss these things because the worship service was not the time or the place to get involved in a discussion. Now, again, a Bible class is a different matter altogether. He's talking about the worship service here. And by the way, when he says, let them ask their husbands at home, does that mean that on the way home that they couldn't talk about the sermon, that they couldn't talk about a Bible question? Does that mean that a man and a woman can't talk about a Bible question in their car on the way back from worship services as they're going home? Well, of course, that's not what Paul is talking about here, and he's not excluding that. He's talking about what usually would take place. Now, another question is this teaching simply cultural? Did it only apply to the city of Corinth? And also, is this teaching only something that regulated these worship services because they had tongue speakers and prophets? Well, Paul answers that as well. He says that the reason for this teaching is because the law, the Old Testament, taught male leadership. And he's saying the same thing applies in the New Testament age. He says, but they are commanded to be under obedience as also saith the law. So it's interesting that in both places where Paul specifically gives the role of women in 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 and 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35, Paul is careful to tell us that it is not culture that decides male leadership. It is the creation, and it is the fact that this has always been the will of God, and it is permanent teaching.